Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is so sick. Sebastian comes on crushing it. You've seen his work. He is bringing back the nostalgia of the 90s and throwing it in your face with the Goofy movie. Oh, those figures are going to be so sick. And he's got Mighty Ducks, he's got Space Jam, all the things that make you want to relive your childhood. You want to support Toys on Tap, you can follow on all socials at Toys on Tap. If you love what we're doing here and you want to support us and not sure how, like, subscribe, rate, review, push this forward into more people's hands, in their ears, they'll love it. And if you want to support even more, patreon.com/toysontap, $3 a month. Sebastian has the first Nitty Gritty back. We are starting up the Nitty Gritty again, and I'm so pumped to be able to do it. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. Heck yeah. We always like to walk it back, but I mean, you've got the toys in behind you. You got like the party wagon, all kinds of stuff. Small soldier's hat rocking it. One of the best movies to ever exist. This is such a side note. One of my favorite things about them is in the movie when the toy company is talking about what they produce before they make the Gorgonites and the army guys, whatever they're called. They are talking to the toy company and they say like, what do you make? And one of them says like, well, we make Barfo, and it's this like toy that farts or whatever. Sure, I don't know. Yeah. In the toy line, they made Barfo as a part of the Gorgonites thing, even though he's not a part of it. It's such a wild, like little introductory to that character. It's such a fun thing. Yeah. Walk me back. Tell me about your childhood. Tell me about the toys you grew up with. All that stuff, and then kind of how it filters into now.
Yeah, so I was born in Chile in South America. I lived there until 2001, and then I moved to the U.S. Basically, I moved to Charleston, which is in South Carolina. I didn't know any English whatsoever, so I was just a quiet, like, kid in the back, just kind of listening, just kind of making sure that I was doing what I needed to do. And then I moved to Miami a year after that, which is a different ball game, right? Like, Miami's basically as Hispanic as it gets in the U.S. But when I was a kid, I remember a couple of Christmases, I think. I don't have, like, my nostalgia doesn't go from, like, 10 years. I remember a couple of specific Christmases. My parents would go all out and stuff. We would get Masters of the Universe. We would get some Superman stuff. Obviously, just like unbranded soldiers and things like that. But what I remember is I used to make really crude looking like dioramas and stuff like that for my action figures, because obviously that stuff wasn't around. I used to make I used to sculpt things out of Play-Doh, and then so they would harden, I would put like regular glue on them. And you know, if you put glue on stuff and you let it dry, it hardens like plastic.
Yeah.
So I always used to make stuff like that. But and then during the pandemic, I started noticing the turtle stuff. And they started remastering all of those toys that I remember when I was a kid, like especially that Bebop and Rocksteady and all those things.
Yeah.
And it sucks because I came in when they were aftermarket prices and they were up there, dude.
Yeah.
They were up there. So I started doing that. Obviously, as you can tell, Masters of the Universe, Thundercats, and Turtles. And basically, I started collecting little by little. I have two kids. I have a 4-year-old and a 10-month-old. So the 4-year-old kind of joins in with this as much as I do. And I always joke around because he talks to his friends about Thundercats and Masters of the Universe, and nobody knows what he's talking about
because
a lot of them didn't grow up with this stuff. But yeah, basically just found a little nostalgia hook with these figures. Wanted to kind of keep them in the shelf, and then that was it. And then basically, like, what led into me sculpting and doing all these things was me experiencing things with my son. I've always I've always loved things like Disney movies and stuff like that. And whenever I would watch them, I would say to myself, well, I feel like I can do this and I haven't seen it done before. So let me see if I can take a crack at it. And that's kind of how everything started when it comes to the more professional side, or at least hobbyist at that point. And at this point, honestly, like, I have a good amount of figures, but I've sold a lot of them. I get more of a kick of like making the things that I want to be made instead of buying, which is nice.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to buy everything.
Yeah.
So you notice the Mondo Ghostbusters are up there now, right next to the turtle.
And yeah.
That's my new line that I'm picking up. But yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of nostalgia. There's a little bit of proving myself that I can still do what I used to do and also being able to try and create new things, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
I hope that answers the question in some way.
Yeah. Usually we walk through like high school and college and all that stuff.
I can go deeper.
I mean, well, let's skip that part. I'm so interested in the idea. You move here in 2001, coming here, not speaking any of that language, and then just becoming who you are. Tell me about those early years. It's 2001.
We got started in school. I was in eighth grade, and not to get too heavy right off the bat, but I mean, I got here 2 months before 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
So I experienced it in school, and that was its own thing for everyone.
What up, toy nerds? This is Ray.
And Dave. Go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys.
We talk about toys.
We talk about old toys.
And new toys.
And toys that we make.
And we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
I'm all right with that. So yeah, if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be.
Yeah, you could. Who knows?
You got to check it out.
Toy Rats. Toy Rats. YouTube.
Bye.
Bye.
But it was confusing for everyone. Maybe more confusing to me because I didn't know what was going on half the time. But basically, I moved to a school that didn't have any Hispanic people. I think there was one dude. I don't remember from what country he was in, but he didn't want to deal with me because I think he already had assimilated.
Okay. So you were still the outsider.
He's just like, I'm not going backwards, you know?
Yeah.
My friends, I'm not going to, so, which is fine. But, so I did my thing. A couple of girls at the time, like, picked me up. I think I was kind of like their mascot or something. So they would just take me from class to class. And I was just like, cool, dude, I'm game for it. And basically, like I mentioned, listen, it took me like 6 months where I didn't really speak with anybody, but somehow I was making friends still. Like, I remember going to kids' houses.
And you didn't speak their language?
No, but I can't tell you how it worked, but it did.
And yeah.
Little by little, one day I started speaking and they were like, oh, what the hell? And I remember, I always tell people this because in the US, you know, you say what's up and somebody answers like what's up, right? Like in response. So I was doing that with a lot of things. And like my friends will make fun of it because they will be like, oh, they'll be like, guess what? And I would say, guess what back? And just stuff like that. And then they will bring in somebody else and be like, oh, check this out. And they would make me basically do it without me even knowing.
Yeah.
So I went through a lot of things that maybe weren't the best. But because I wasn't aware of it, I just kind of coasted through it.
Yeah.
So that obviously is just, that kind of teaches you how to, I feel like a lot of my life has been knowing when to step up and knowing when to step back.
Mm-hmm.
And that even relates to me now as a 37-year-old trying to kind of start a second career through a digital medium, right? Like I'm meeting people online mostly. I met people, I went to Comic-Con a couple of weeks ago. I met some people in real life, but it was the same thing. Like being at a con, I'm sure you have been, or maybe you have.
Yeah.
Been. It's very like, okay, I fit in this group pretty well, but this one, not so much. So I'm going to like talk to these people. I'm going to engage here, but not too much.
Yeah.
So I'm always kind of reading the room. And I feel like trying to assimilate in a different place is that, and obviously everyone does it. We all wear different masks and stuff, but I had to do it at a really early age. So once that happened, because I remember I had a teacher, they assign you a teacher when you first move somewhere to learn the language.
Oh, okay.
Because there was nobody else, I had her all to myself. So she was literally like, which helped. But also, like, I would go to recess and I would try to make friends. And I'd be in the middle of it. And she would come out, dude, and, like, go get me.
Yeah.
And she was, like, this loud lady. And she'd be like, Sebastian. I'm like, oh. you know what I mean? So just like, okay, cool. Later, guys. Whatever.
Yeah. Guess I'm having to do this.
Yeah. And I would have a class with her. And, I mean, that's a really good thing to have, basically, a one-on-one teacher.
Yeah.
But I remember things like, you know, taking a bus to school was also new to me because in Chile, there isn't such a thing. There's not that infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So you drive on your own. But like one time there was a dance coming up and I remember there was a girl that I kind of knew and she sat with another friend of hers who was really cute, by the way. And they both turned around at the same time and look at me and I'm just like, what's going on? And what I gathered was that one of them wanted to go to a dance with me.
Mm.
And I was just like, okay, cool. Yeah, sure. Again, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't ask any questions. So I went to a dance. My mom dropped me off. Her mom dropped her off. But did I know they were going to wear suits to the party? I did not. So I remember, dude, going to TJ Maxx. And I bought myself like this fresh Hurley shirt, like a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Black shorts, skate shoes. And I went to the freaking thing. And I stayed, dude. And like people were taking pictures with me because it was just such an odd thing. But I was just like going with it, you know.
Dude, I love that. I love that.
I wish there was pictures of that because there's years where like I don't have pictures of any of that. I think my mom has some VHS tapes that I could go back and like maybe screenshot some stuff just to like remember what I looked like. But yeah, it's so interesting because if you go back and think about it like logically, it didn't make any sense, but again, it didn't have to. It was just like, you're just getting through it every day. And I made friends.
God, that's so wild. In doing that, is this kind of where like art or something picks up? Because that seems like such a solo event. Like you're kind of alone in a public space. And so are you starting to draw, starting to do any of that kind of stuff? Some kind of solo activity like that?
Yeah. Basically, art was always there. I remember I used to draw on my arm all the time with a pen. So every day I would have a new sleeve. My mom would always be like, "That's terrible for you." I'm like, "Yeah, it's whatever."
Yeah.
But that year that wasn't happening too much. I think that year I was just kind of doing my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was just surviving, playing Xbox with my neighbors. That was pretty much it. And then when I moved to Miami, I went to Miami Sunset. That's where I picked up. Basically, I was still, you know, I knew English pretty well, but it was a whole new crew, a whole new everything. So I met one buddy, Kenjiro was his name. We were really good friends during high school. We're not really close anymore. But he was a smart kid, and I knew that I wanted to be around the smart kids. So I took every AP class that I could take, just to be around the kids that maybe cared a little bit more or whatever. And I was able to make it, and that led me to AP class, which is, I had it basically every year, the whole 4 years. And I had a teacher there, Miss Ewing, and she was a character for sure. She was she had a really interesting laugh. And obviously, a lot of kids weren't kind to her, you know? But I saw her like in a different way. So I started that, and then by the third, I would say I was always drawing. By the first year, it was kind of like, okay, I was just one of the guys doing the thing. Second, third year, she noticed that I was taking it more seriously. I was always kind of the kid that maybe would talk too much in other classes, so I would kind of get kicked out of class sometimes.
Yeah.
And I would just go to her class and be like, kind of hang out here for a minute. So at that point, she started letting me have the catalog of things that they order, like the Prisma markers and the paper and all that stuff. And she would give me kind of a budget. So she would be like, okay, buy this stuff for this year that you want because nobody else cares. So I started doing that.
You got a shopping list.
Yeah, dude. And I started doing it. And I'm sure that the budgets then were higher than they are now.
Yeah.
And then I had, I didn't take like the regular classes that people would take, like driving classes and stuff. I didn't take those. So I just end up in art class. And I remember there was one, this was in Miami. So there was like a heavy influence of kind of graffiti stuff while I was going to high school. That wasn't really my thing, but I had a, I don't know if he was a friend, but he was definitely an acquaintance. I don't think he was a mentor either, but in my mind, maybe he was, or at least I felt like it. But his name was Xavier, and he was like the cool street guy, and he like would do graffiti and all this kind of crazy stuff. And I started kind of bleeding that. Again, not that my work now has any of that, but it was part of like experimenting. And I remember not thinking about the stuff that I was doing. And I think about it now, and I'm like, it's really hard for me to put something on paper, like to draw something. It's really hard for me to do it now. And back in the day, I would just do it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's about. I don't know if that's like a mental block or whatever. But basically, yeah, like I said, art's been around. It helped me meet some important people in my life. And that's basically who I was. I was the kid that would put my hoodie up in my headphones, and I would just walk through school. That was it. And whoever noticed me was the, like, actually interested
for yeah. some
reason, because I wasn't putting effort into engaging with anybody but my art, my family, and a couple of friends that I had. And that
was yeah. it.
But yeah.
Dang. Fast forward me up to when we start doing digital art.
Sure.
Like, is this a college thing that we're learning? Is this, we're just picking us up on our own? Like, what does this look like for your career?
Yeah, so when senior year was coming up, everyone was doing college stuff.
Yeah.
I knew I wasn't gonna hit up college right away. I knew I was gonna go a couple years later. So I picked up a job and did my thing. But I was kind of, I was a little bitter about my circumstance and the fact that everyone was doing their own thing. So I graduated, I did my thing. And then when the time came to go to college, I wanted to do film. Mm-hmm. Not because, I mean, I love film, but I didn't want to be a filmmaker. I wanted to build the sets for film, right? Because I was just like, I've always kind of made things. I like being creative. So I feel like this is something that would make sense. So in Florida, there is this school called Full Sail, which is kind of like one of these schools that kind of pop up. And they have enough certifications that you're like, okay, this is a pretty good school, but it's a different kind of track.
Mm-hmm.
This was a 24-hour school, which meant that it was open 24 hours. And you did 4 years of schooling in 2 years. Because you did the same amount of hours.
Yeah.
So basically, we would go to lecture one in the morning and then go to lab at 5. And they just kept going like that, rinse and repeat for 2 years straight. I started online because I still had to work in Miami. But anyways, I took the tour for film. And it was nice. But they told me like, okay, what is it that you're looking to do? I'm like, well, I'm looking to do these things. And they're like, well, to be honest, we don't really build that many things. And then I was like, okay, whatever. And then I passed by the hallway and I saw a bunch of computers, like this lab with a bunch of computers. It was dark and all the screens were lit up. And it had Maya open with people working on digital assets. And I had no idea what this was. And I was, how old was I? 19, 20 at the time. So I was just like, oh, what's that, dude? And he started telling me. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to do that, like, right away. You know, it's pretty basic, right? Like, it's just start doing animations and stuff
yeah.
like that. And then I started modeling more kind of hard surface, so polygonal in Maya, just kind of moving stuff around. And I knew then, dude. I knew then, like, I would take my classes that I needed to take, but I was always modeling.
Yeah.
During these classes. So fast forward 7 months, I move into Winter Park in Orlando. And I start doing the in real life thing. I meet good people, but none of us had time to make friends because we were all just like, so, you know, going all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes time to graduate a couple, maybe, you know, getting into the 2 years. And then they split you into two tracks. So the computer animation track and the game art track, which back in the day, they were more separated. Back in now, game art looks just like pre-rendered animation stuff, where before it didn't. There was a visual gap between. Anyways, I do my 3 months of my finals. And I guess a really kind of funny anecdote that I told Peter when I met him at New York from Mondo is that I wanted to do characters.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, I wasn't ready. But my test, I did a head for Goofy. Like I did a bust and I showed it to a teacher and she was like, oh, you know, I don't think you're ready. You might want to try this other route, which is the hard surface modeling, more for like environments and vehicles. So I modeled a train and I killed it and the teacher loved it and whatever. So I did pretty well and I came out of that with a really nice portfolio where I modeled like this Ford Raptor truck, an airplane. And it was good enough to get me some stuff. I got some good gigs out of it. But and then I've been kind of doing that ever since.
Yeah.
I've worked at medical animation studios doing like kind of gross animations about like for teaching people how to care for certain things.
Yuck. Wait, let's dive. Tell me about those. Tell me about some of those medical things. Yeah, this is the side of animation that we don't necessarily like hear about.
Well, it's funny because I've been listening to more podcasts now and a lot of people do odd jobs within the industry until eventually you get to the thing you want to do.
Yeah.
And it was a medical animation studio where they're building an application to kind of give the user control over their health. So we would create like virtual reality experiences, augmented reality experiences for medical issues. And I remember I got the assignment to create a virtual reality kind of pass through of the colon. Like, so I had to look at reference.
Yeah.
I have to learn like, oh, those are polyps. Those are like cancerous polyps. And I'm like sculpting all this, like giving it texture. And you're trying to make stuff look real, but not make it look as gross as it actually is. But that lasted like a year and a half.
Yeah.
I was like a newly single dude at 25 at that time. And I moved to a new city. And I was just like, oh, I'm going to crush it. You know, like I had all this like energy. And I don't know if you've ever been to Sarasota, but it's not really that kind of place. It's like mostly older people.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the opportunity to move to Cincinnati, which is where I'm at now. And I've been here ever since, you know, 2015. And I do stuff for like marketing, products, things like that. And it's cool, but it's not the stuff that I'm also doing with sculpting or things like that. But during all that time on my website, there's plenty of things that you can see if you're interested. But I did have a guy that I worked with that had his own company, and he had basically Disney on retainer. So he would do a lot of theme park stuff. And I got to sculpt. I did some Spider-Man suits, which is funny because we got this reference and we couldn't make it out. We're like, this looks nothing like anything we've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't find any reference on the internet for it. So we just did our best. And then we realized after the fact that Disney's not allowed to put like movie suits on theme parks. So they make their own versions.
Mm.
And this was that version. And that's why we hadn't seen it anywhere.
Okay.
But yeah, so basically I did a lot of things like that. That was working with cool companies. Not on my own, right? My name wasn't attached to it. I was
just
a worker bee. But it was cool. It was tight deadlines. It was high-end work that was going to be shown in like little commercial stuff here and there. But yeah, I've been lucky to have like a pretty varied kind of, I guess, portfolio. And little by little, I've kind of built that confidence to be able to approach people nowadays. Be like, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. Are you interested?
Yeah, it's just insanity. Like, I think what's cool is you're describing something that we rarely see, right? So sculpting, especially in the toy scene, it's like, how many figures have you sculpted? Or like, what's the new piece of the company that you're working with? In animation, it's like, what animated short or movie are you working on? Dude, you worked on like gross science stuff where you sculpted a rectum and like polyps and stuff. And then
and I killed it, by the way.
Yeah. Right. And there we go. Like it was a shitty job, but you did it. Yeah. And then like we get to the point where you're like doing sculpts and working with stuff on like Spider-Man, but it's under the radar basically because the company's known and you're not. So yeah. There's like, these are the things that I wish new sculptors heard is like, yeah, toys and toy sculpting, that's awesome. But there's so much out there.
Yeah.
And so when did we make the pivot? When did we finally decide to, we can sculpt toys or some kind of figures or something?
So I feel like to kind of go off of that, I feel like there is a way that people approach life, right? Like there is the dreamers out there that go like, this is my thing. And I'm not going to stop until I get there. It doesn't matter how crappy my life is.
Yeah.
On the journey there. And there's plenty of people that have amazing lives. There's plenty of people that have hard lives that left school. And that's what they pursued. They moved to LA. They lived in a small apartment. That's what they did. I decided to have a more regular life. Like, you know, I live in Ohio. I have a pretty good house. I have a wife. I have two kids. I have plenty of time to tend to them. While also being able to do this. I don't know if I would have been able to do that if I pursued this that hard. So basically it was almost like I gave myself, and I heard this somewhere, I'm paraphrasing, but I gave myself the chance to have a pretty good life that allows me to have time to pursue stuff instead of pursuing it so hard that I didn't have time to do anything else.
Right.
And that's kind of how it's happened. And honestly, the fact that I'm so green about it all, I think it's played in my favor. And I think going back to me being in school, not knowing what the hell I was saying while I was making friends, it's kind of a pattern, right? You just kind of, I'm just stumbling through it. I'm just stumbling through it. And whatever opportunity I get, I've been able to capitalize. And at this point, I've learned enough about marketing, about branding, which is not who I was back in the day, right? A lot of artists are kind of quiet. You know, you don't really do that kind of stuff. And I've been able to put myself out there. But it all pivoted basically. Well, I mean, if you look at my Instagram, my Sebastian Gomez Toys Instagram, it basically started last year. I think it's August 22nd, where I posted a reel of a Bobby from the movie, the dude that does the Tower of Cheesa. So I made that sculpt. I think it took me like a week and a half, and I said I'm gonna make this look like an ultimate figure.
Yeah.
And a mix of that, and also at that time, Alex Brewer from Mondo had just released his real Ghostbusters figures. This was not last year. This was 2 years ago now. So I was just like, okay, so I'm gonna make sure that I lay it out like Ultimates does with all the accessories. And I'm going to render it using the same palette that Alex Brewer did. So if you go back at some point to his post, his original post, he's got three. And he used the first one. He did it with like a gray color. And then he changed the other two. I did the same thing. And I did the character turnaround, which is the multiple characters like that. That shows you every angle.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed. Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures!
DKE!
And then I did my reel turnaround. And I posted that on a Tuesday morning. And I knew enough people. Not many, but I knew enough that I started sharing it. And I shared it with Peter. Peter Santamaria from Mondo. And a couple other people, and they all responded pretty well to it. And it got picked up by Toy Shiz. Somebody sent it to him. He shared it, and it got it's at 10,000 views now, I think. But it got like 9,000 views in like 3 hours. And Peter goes, did you send this to Hector? And I was just like, no, but I can. And then he's like, okay, well, let's talk. And I went upstairs, dude, and I started jumping. And my wife was on a call. And I was just like, you know, and I told her. And then we had a meeting. And they're like, you know, we had the license. We like what you're doing. Would you like to work on it? And I had no hesitation. I should have had hesitation because this is Mondo, right? Like at the time, they were up there already. Like
yeah.
Already up there. But it was just like, if they like what I did, there's no reason why I wouldn't be able to do that again.
Yeah.
This was not like, there was no trickery. It was literally me on laptop. A lot of those, which sounds ridiculous to say, but I was hanging out with my kid, so I would sculpt them on the laptop with a mouse. And I don't know if you know sculpting, but there is a tool in ZBrush that's called the move tool.
Mm-hmm.
That you can literally drag and move. So basically I would move with the mouse and then smooth it and move and smooth instead of carving or anything. And that was enough. And that was just to spend time with my kid. Nowadays I have a different setup. I have an iPad Pro.
Yeah.
That I carry with me everywhere. And it's been a game changer. Like last night, I don't know if you saw the new, I think you saw it because I sent it to you, the new Mighty Ducks.
Oh, yeah, we're getting there. Into it yet. We're getting there.
Okay.
Because you're tickling in the back of my brain.
Yeah. But no, but that was basically it, dude. It's been a mixture of just me being at the right spot. Because for the fact that they told me, hey, we got the license. We're about to start looking for artists and you just send us your thing. That's insane, right? Like that doesn't happen. So obviously there's some cosmic luck thing happening my way that was able to tell me, hey, you're watching the Goofy movie with your kid. You love this movie. You should do something about it. I do just enough time that I sent it to them before they gave it to anybody else. And then I'm able to deliver. The guys, the team internally took it. They made some changes. They added some stuff. So it's not the same set that I delivered, but it's better.
Mm-hmm.
The story changed a little bit. They added more things. And there's enough of me there. And then there's more that Brendan Gash, who's a crazy name, he added to it. Alex Brewer added to it. So whenever it does come out, hopefully soon, somebody's going to get a lot of me
and yeah.
a lot of everyone else.
In the yeah.
Team, which is great.
I mean, that's insane. I the one that I saw in me, I didn't see that guy. I saw the power. Is it Powerline? Is that his name?
Yeah, Powerline. Yeah.
I saw that sculpt, and doing Toys on Tap and working with sculptors, and you know, More Horrific.
Yeah, one of, he's, I love More Horrific.
Yeah.
We started talking a couple months ago now.
He's so sick.
I think we're friends now.
Yeah. Dude, I hope so. He's a close friend of mine. Yeah. He sculpted some pieces for me. Absolutely sick. I think what, like, and it's just like being at the right place at the right time. And it's so insane. And so he sent me that. And then being with Toys on Tap, people are sending me this, like, have you seen this sculptor yet? And I was like, I have not. I don't remember Goofy movie. So it was like, this is really cool. I don't have that connection yet. And then I reached out because like, but you're doing toys. So we've got to talk, we've got to get you on here. And then I saw the beauty that is the Mighty Ducks. Tell me about that. Is that a licensed thing? I mean, wait, no, not even that one first. I saw Space Jam first.
Right.
Let's talk Space Jam.
One of the best movies ever made. I have it in VHS back here.
Those toys are incredible. They're chonky toys. You sculpted the blue one, if I remember correctly.
Blanco was the first one. Yeah, and he's the tall one that's based on... so they're all based on real athletes, right?
Yeah.
From the NBA. I forget his name, sadly, but I think he passed a couple of years ago. But Sean Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, that movie's always stuck with me because, you know, so when you don't live in the U.S., right? All you consume is Western media, right?
Like, yeah.
You just consume American movies and stuff like that. Space Jam is perfect for that because they show you the nice neighborhoods. They show you the cul-de-sac. They show you Michael Jordan, but in a very relatable way, right?
Yeah.
He's not, I mean, you know, he's rich, but he doesn't look super rich in that movie. He has a regular home. He's actually a pretty good actor, considering. I mean, after seeing LeBron, you realize how good Michael Jordan is. And the designs were amazing. Like, the silhouettes, every dude has a totally different silhouette. Obviously, Looney Tunes have their own thing. I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure Lola Bunny was made for Space Jam. Because they needed to give Bugs Bunny somebody to kind of match off of. And then you had, obviously, all the human people that were amazing. I mean, Bill Murray. I still watch. I'm a creature of habit. I still rewatch the things that make me feel nice in that Space Jam. So I did the goofy stuff. Obviously, I couldn't do it anymore because I had done it for somebody else officially. So I was like, okay, I can't go back to this one. What do I want to do? And Space Jam had toys, but they didn't have like anything crazy. They were kind of awkward looking. The scale was all off. So I was just like, okay, let me do this. And I think I did them in a couple, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks. And then it got a pretty good, a lot of people liked it. I shared it on the Discord. I'm part of the Geek.Life Discord, and I shared it on there. People liked it. And I think they might have mentioned it. I think they mentioned it on the stream, like at the end of it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay. And I had a buddy, Quip, that really wants these to be made. So I was just like, all right, I'm going to keep going. Like, I'm going to do as many as I can. And I kept going. I did Nout, who's the little guy, base of Mugsy Bogues. And I did all these. And they were pretty fast to do because I was taking basically the original body and I was just kind of moving it. But I wasn't using character sheets. I wasn't using reference like laid over. I was just kind of eyeballing it. So I would put my reference on the left and the sculpt on the right. And I would just go for it. So I started posting every couple of weeks and they did pretty well. And then I got to Looney Tunes, which I didn't know if I was going to get to. But I did Lola, who I knew was going to kind of do well because she's Lola Bunny, right? Mm-hmm. And not everyone has done her well, at least. And she's one of the characters that you can do a sexy version of her without it being weird because that's who she is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I wasn't doing that character for that movie, I would be doing it at the service, right? Like, they changed her in this new movie. They made it a little different. But I got there, I did Bugs, and then I needed a break. I was just like, okay, I need to step off and do something else. So I'm looking for properties. I'm looking for things.
Yeah.
And Mighty Ducks, I don't have as much nostalgia for that show as I do for others.
Yeah.
But the design of them is insane. And also, like, yeah, they have a pretty good toy line.
Like, yeah.
The toy line back in the day was not bad.
No, and they were big. Like, all the figures seemed so big looking back. Sure. Yeah. And I remember I had only seen a couple episodes growing up, but I was hooked. Like, yeah, those figures were so well done.
And dude, and the intro music to all these shows, just the design.
Yeah.
It was just crazy. So I went for it. And I was actually surprised with how he came out because I was just like, I'm moving so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I'm done with the sculpt, I set up the render and then I'm done, right? Like, I put it out there and it's done. It's hard for me to, like, I joke with my wife even today.
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 3.75 inch or 1.82. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters. Now functions. Toys on Tap. That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSONTAP 10. Empire Blisters.
I sent the posts. And I know there's something that I want to fix, but I can't at some point. I'm like, it's just got to go.
Yeah.
But with this one, I was happy enough that I started kind of doing little things to kind of bring it back up. So I did some subtle animations for it, which I liked. And then I knew I wanted to do packaging, because with Monstars, with Blanco, I did do packaging. And this is kind of a cool story, because when people started following me, some people started engaging in DMs. And there's this dude, he lives in Israel. His name is Oriel. And a couple of letters more on Instagram.
Yeah, Gio, I don't know his last name. G-O-C-H. Yeah,
but
yeah.
He's tagged officially on my post because we did a collaboration. But he hit me up and he's like, dude, Space Jam is my jam. No pun intended. I would love to work with you. And I was just like, let's do it, you know? So we worked back and forth. And he's the one that did basically all the box art. And not just the art. He did the layout. He did all the graphic design for that box. So that took maybe a month-ish. While I was doing my stuff, he was working on it. And I remember pushing him a little bit because New York Comic Con was coming. And I was just like, dude, I would really like to have this in the bag by the time I get there so I can have stuff to talk with people about. So we were able to make that happen. And that post has done really well too. A lot of engagement, positive engagement. So I don't know if there's a line like, in the lines that I make in my world, that I will take as deep as Space Jam, because that's 7 characters.
Yeah.
I know I still have to do the coach, which I do want to do because he's voiced by Danny DeVito. And that's got to be done, right? Because that's just great.
Yeah.
I did that collaboration with him, which may lead me into the next collaboration that I dropped today with another amazing artist that I found on Instagram.
I mean, you did the Mighty Ducks, the packaging. You're just working with insane artists is what's happening. Like,
right.
These artists are so good, and you're matching your talent with theirs in graphic design and stuff. Today, I think it was today or yesterday. Yeah, you posted and you sent it to me, the collaboration with Turbo Pork.
Right, cool. I think you're familiar with.
Insane. Yeah, he's done work for me. Insane artist. Right. Absolutely crushes it. I need to ask you something. So I got to pull my phone out for this one because I got to make sure I'm correct. On the Space Jam one that you did, when you guys did the packaging, there is at the bottom, like the colors of the monsters is just they're different colors than what they are in the movie and the toys. Is that deliberate to like keep it?
No, I mean, maybe. I didn't think. So funny enough, I don't think licensing when I do these things. To me, it's straight up fan art. I have never been involved in anything like that.
Yeah.
Now it comes up a lot because I'm getting messages from people. Hey, are you doing this and that? But I remember he delivered the work. And if you look at his profile, he does a lot of really bright, kind of solid color stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was honestly never bothered with it because it contrasted my figure in the best way possible.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm down for this. And I got feedback for it too when I released it. Like, dude, those are not accurate. You should change it. And I was just like, I'm pretty good at taking feedback. But with this one, I was just like, this is what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he decided to make that. And I'm going to go with it, right? And I think as a box itself, like the box, that's what it needs to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you notice the box first.
Absolutely.
Which I'm totally good with.
Yeah.
And then your eyes go, okay, let me go see what's inside.
Yeah.
And then there's the figure. So, yeah, it's slightly off. And then I spoke with him a couple of days ago, and he mentioned that he made some changes to it. So I don't know what he did,
but okay.
I told him like these changes are not gonna—they're not gonna see the light of day unless we do another render, which I don't know if we're gonna do.
Okay, I mean, I love the look of it because it's like an artist's version of something, but it did catch me because it was like, oh, is there some kind of other thing happening here?
Right.
And then when you worked with Turbo Pork, you did the packaging for this one. So I have to, like, you're doing the sculpting and stuff. They're doing the graphic design. And then you're making these rad posts where you see the packaging in 3D. Mm-hmm. That packaging doesn't exist yet. Yeah. It's nowhere. So even the post alone is crazy good, because then it gives us a glimpse at like, well, we could buy this tomorrow. So tell me about like the package design and like working in that kind of a space now. Like you're doing whole toys without having to produce them.
Right. And I hope that one day I do get to produce them.
I
talk to my wife and I'm like, we have a 4-year-old and a 10-month-old. If you're going to make something, have a good team around you, because you're not doing this on your own.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, sure. But I follow a good amount of people. I do the same thing on Instagram. There's one, I think it's the Glowing Ghost. I think that's his tag, something close. And we talk on DMs all the time. But he does crazy concepts and he brands them too. Mm-hmm. So he'll put like Hasbro's logo or whatever. So he'll make them as real as possible. And people get confused. And some get pissed off because they're like, dude, I really thought this was a real thing.
Yeah.
So basically, I wanted to make it as easy as possible for someone to visually see it and say, this is something I want to do. Or I want to tell somebody that could do this, hey, this is pretty much ready to go.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my wife this morning about how I like the fact that I am able to take the sculpts all the way through. Because I know enough about rendering. I know enough about texturing, modeling, that I can do the whole pipeline. And I can do the renders and make them look realistic, almost to a fault. Because the post from today, I made it do its thing, right? And it catches the light nicely. But you do get a little bit of a blowout. Mm-hmm. So you lose the figure for like 0.5 seconds. And then it comes around and you lose it again.
Okay.
And that is cool storytelling, because it's like, oh, this is real. But it's also, like it should have been a little less.
Yeah.
Just so we don't lose the figure. But again, like I'm trying to do this balance between being fast and caring about what I do and not rushing it. But you can't have it all. Again, I have a 9-to-5. I have kids, a wife. There's only so much time I have. But with Turbo Pork, I 100% went to him.
Mm-hmm. You
know, I sent him a DM and I'm like, hey, man, I love your work. Would you be interested in me commissioning you to do art or packaging that I'm thinking about doing? And I told him, like, this is not a real thing. And he loved my Mighty Ducks because I had already done them.
Mm-hmm.
So he loved it, which is crazy to hear.
Yeah.
So he was down. So we started the process. Obviously, he's busy. He's got a lot of stuff going on. So he would send me little snippets here and there. Like, oh, I started. He gave me 3 concepts. I picked one of them. He kind of gave me direction on which one I should pick based on what I'm trying to do. And then sometimes I would wake up and there would be like a new image, like, oh, I started the inking, or I started this. And he nailed it every time. Like, it's so dynamic. And he had a couple that were crazy that we couldn't use because it's a card back. You know, you can only do so much.
Yeah.
But, and I mentioned it to him. I'm like, hey, man, I'm looking to do like full-on collaborations. So if you're into it, I would like to tag you to the project and all that stuff. And he's like, yeah, I'm totally game. But that was the process. As soon as I got his art, which was a PDF.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was only like 2.5 days ago or something. I got going on the box. And one thing that we talked with him about is I never gave him the layout beforehand. I just told him, make cool art.
Yeah.
And then I figured out the layout afterwards, which is difficult. And that tells you that I'm new to this, right? Mm-hmm. So basically, I started working on it after work. And I did a render and I sent it to him. And then he started giving me feedback, like, I don't know, 3 short paragraphs. Hey, try this. And it was crazy because, like, it could have easily been just a business transaction. Like, okay, you gave me the product that I asked for.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you your money and we're done. And that would have been great. But he started giving me feedback as if he was invested in it. And feedback from a dude that's done packaging for a lot of companies. I mean, that van back there, he did the package art for the box.
Mm-hmm.
It's this massive piece. So he's been around. And basically, I will tweak it with his notes, and I will send it to him. Tweak it, send it. Tweak it, send it. And I actually screenshot my before and my after, and I have them side by side, and I will post that on Instagram soon, just to show you how far it goes. Because I remember when I first started, I made a render with his art fully. You could see all of it. And then my figure. But my figure was smaller. And he goes, dude, like, I appreciate what you're doing, but you need to cut that art. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't fit that way. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, but I don't want to, like, cut your art, you know? Like, I don't want to, you know, it's so good. He's like, the figure needs to be the main piece, and everything else needs to surround it. So as soon as I kind of started with that, I started putting him in different spots and doing the logo here and all the little like wording that makes it feel real. So we worked together on it for maybe, I don't know, maybe a day and a half. And I remember I went to my kid's Halloween thing, trunk and treat.
Yeah.
Trunk and treat, whatever. And he sent me a voice memo. Like, this dude doesn't know me.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me a voice memo on Instagram giving me notes. He's just like, I don't want to type. So I wrote back. I sent him a voice memo back. And basically, when it comes to the graphic design, I'm pretty sure that I got close to his seal of approval by the end, because we had worked it together just so it was, the composition was right and everything. And then I brought it into, which is a texturing software called Substance Painter. And I added like a little bit of edge wear, a little bit of scratches and all that stuff, just to make it feel lived in. And I don't know if that's a thing that you have to do, but to me, it may take away a little bit from the figure, but it sells that story.
Yeah.
That's like, is this a new toy? Is this an old toy? I mean, clearly by the articulation, it's better engineered than maybe stuff we would get from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But it seems like most people at least overlook maybe the stuff that I fixate on, because hopefully they focus on the story and not the details that I'm like beating myself up about. At least.
Dang. It's just so good. It's so good. Now, I mean, you couldn't do much because you were on NDA stuff, so you couldn't post much. You couldn't do that kind of stuff. When you post these, is the hope that someone sees it so that you can like rock with it, or are you just doing things that you love?
It's the same approach as always, just stumbling forward. So I'm doing things that I love 100%. I wouldn't be able to do things that I don't love, honestly, because like I mentioned, I have my job, I have my things that I do. So this is extra time. Like, I'm going to bed late, I'm waking up early.
Yeah.
Last night, my four-year-old goes to play with his neighbor friends. We live in a cul-de-sac, so there's a lot of kids around. And I'm not comfortable with letting him play by himself yet. So I just put a lawn chair in my yard,
mm-hmm.
and I bust out the iPad, and I work while he's playing. And I cut all the articulation for that figure yesterday
mm-hmm.
outside on my lawn. And my kid came inside because he was late. And I stayed outside for like 15 more minutes. I asked my wife, I'm like, can I stay here? Because I got to finish this part. So I'm literally sitting on a lawn chair in my front yard in the dark by myself with an iPad. And
yeah.
My neighbors would
like some me. Creepy guy.
But I'm like, I'm in it, dude. Like it feels like if I was a referee in the NFL and I was like, when they put the thing to review the play, that's what it feels like. Just blinders.
Yeah.
I'm just going. I'm totally open to any opportunity, like I am with everything. I'm as close to a yes man as you'll meet.
Yep.
And I love meeting people. I love collaborating with people. And I've gotten very open about saying like, hey, I like what you do. You seem to like what I do. Let's work together.
Yeah.
And that's going to keep happening more and more. I mean, I already have one that I've put a lot of work into, which is I think he's a really well-known artist. Yeah, he's done a lot of great stuff. And I approached him and I'm like, hey, I love your stuff, dude. Is there a way that I could take these concepts that I've been making and kind of use your art for it?
Yeah.
And he's game, and hopefully that will come out soon. And I approached it the same way. I'm like, I'm doing my thing with your concept. Would you be cool with taking your concept and letting me use it for the box art? And they said yes. So basically, it's going to be my figure on the inside and a celebration of what they're doing on the box. It's going to have their name up front.
Yeah.
It's just going to be like, that's just what I'm going to be doing. And
it's insane.
I don't know. People talk about Kickstarters and all that stuff. I don't personally, I've never done one.
Yeah.
Again, I'm open to stuff, but I would have to team with people and know what they're doing because I can't take that on my own. I mean, I just backed the SWAT Cats one. I don't know if you know about that Kickstarter.
No, I don't think so. What's that one about?
Cartoon SWAT Cats?
I didn't ever see the cartoon. I saw the action figures a long time ago, okay, I think.
Okay. So it's having a little bit of a renaissance.
Yeah.
And the, I think it's the license owner, so whoever it is, they launch a Kickstarter for it.
And it's up right now?
It is up. And I think it's like the number one Kickstarter right now. It's raised like 300,000 out of like, I think their goal was like 80,000 or something.
Let's see. I'm pulling it up right now. Holy jeez.
But their tier setup is insane, dude. Like the amount of add-ons that you can put is crazy. They have like, so basically the reason why I bring that up is because it does seem like it's a lot of work.
Yeah, Kickstarters are a lot of work, but they, if you can stay focused and give it all that you can,
right,
it does super well. But this is like they're reviving a brand.
Well, 100%. And Mondo announced it on New York Comic Con that they're picking them up.
Oh, to do their figures.
Yep. I don't know. They didn't announce any official scale or anything, but they're picking them up. And a couple years, I think it was at least a year and a half ago, Brandon Gass that works at Mondo, and Johnny, who they used to work together at Super 7.
Yeah.
They did a collaboration because Johnny's a concept artist. Not concept artist. He's a concept artist, more of a video game thing. But anyways, he comes up with the 2D renditions that the sculptors use to model. They made the SWAT Cats in their own way.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, and it did very well. So the fact that now it's starting to kind of pick up energy again, it's great.
It's insane. I mean, if I can be honest with you, the 40,000 as the goal was not what it was going to take to produce all that they need to produce.
So what do you think that choice is? Is that just to get people in, be like, we can do this kind of thing early?
I mean, it probably is there to, it's enough to get like some stuff going. Yeah. But if you're paying writers, you're paying people in the midst of this, it's not. But they've well overdone it. They're at 865% funded.
It's insane, dude. And they have what, like half a month left?
Let's see. That is wild. I didn't even know this was, yeah. Oh, that got funded in 4 days. They had a 30-day campaign. $346,000 has come in for that.
And I gave very little. I got the hardcover book because I love hardcovers. And
yeah.
I think I may add like a print or something because I have a lot of prints in my office. I'm actually running out of space.
That's absolutely insane. Man, they are almost at their stretch goal of $350,000.
Which is a real stretch goal. Like, I'm sure in their mind, it was just like,
we'll never hit it. And then they just crushed it.
That's the Hail Mary.
I mean, their tiers are incredible too. Holy jeez.
They are. It's crazy. So like, that's the reason why I bring that up is because, again, I'm open to stuff like that. I would just need a good team. And the good thing about it is that I'm starting to get to know enough people that I know can do this stuff. I mean, I know people now that do Sifubi. I know people that do like highly articulated action figures. Like, I know enough people that if one day I woke up and I wanted to do something, maybe I could. Like in the physical realm, not just in the digital world, you know?
Jeez, that is crazy. With all that said, as you're just blowing my mind with that kind of a Kickstarter.
SWAT Cats, man.
Yeah. Some of these brands, like, they're able to be picked up. I'm pretty sure Snalians. Were you ever a fan of Snalians or know what that is? Dude, it is a smart figure where it's small. It's like this big. and it was a snail from outer space body.
Sure.
And then you clip armor on it, and so it like folds in. So it's like an old McDonald's toy style. But I think you can buy the company for like $30,000. It was something crazy I saw at one point. But those are the companies that I'd love to pitch. And then it's like bringing everyone along for the ride, like getting all you guys together on it. With all that said, what's coming up next for you?
So I do have this project that I mentioned that is in the pipeline. Hopefully within a couple of weeks, it should be out. Again, it's me celebrating the artists in the industry. And then me celebrating that they actually talked to me, which is great.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful that, you know, Mondo shows the set that we all worked on, the Goofy movie set, which is, it's like a subline that they've been working for a couple years now called Squads, which is, they're not articulated. They're basically their own scale between 1/6 and 1/12.
Yeah.
But they're, you get a whole set of figures. So they've done Aw Monsters. They've done, they showed Beavis and Butthead. They picked up a bunch of licenses. And basically, you're going to pick up three characters here, Max, Powerline, and Goofy. And you're going to pick up different accessories and different swappable arms that will put you like
so rad
to the movie.
Yeah.
So hopefully that either makes it out or goes on pre-order sometime soon. So that is a big one for me. And then I'm just going to keep grinding, dude, doing what I'm doing, trying to make cool stuff and trying to meet new people like yourself and just doing the thing.
If you're into all that stuff, here's how this is going to work. Anytime someone says, I need a sculptor, I now send them to you guys. That's how this works. And so, because I don't know if you know this, I have zero interest in learning how to sculpt. So I'm here just to connect bridges. So when people ask if you're in, I'll just send your name over.
I made some good leads in New York. I talked to some people also.
Yeah.
So that's also nice.
Are you coming to DesignerCon as well?
Dude, I wish. I wish because I really want to. I even looked at how long it would be to drive from Cincinnati, and it's like 20 something hours.
Hey, that drive is gnarly.
I think I blew my budget in New York.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if the set that I'm talking about makes it there. I have no idea, but maybe.
Okay.
But I would love that con because it seems to be a creator first con instead of a New York Comic Con or a San Diego. But I feel like next year, with the amount of work that I'm putting out, I feel like next year I should be in a good place to do a designer con and maybe have stuff to show.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited about.
Insane. Dude.
I'm assuming you're going.
Oh, yeah. I'll have a booth. This will be the first year I'm boothing, but because we've produced other things now and I help people get their work produced, now I have physical stuff to sell there. So, this is... we're just getting shipments of KMB in, which is the one Kickstarter that funded. And so I have some, but there's going to be releases that'll come out at DesignerCon, which we're really pumped about.
Awesome. That's gonna be a nice looking booth for sure.
But dude, can't wait. It's been so good having you on the podcast. So thank you so much for making that happen.
Yeah, dude, you've made it very comfortable for me. So thank you. Yeah, I don't really get to go that deep into my life story, but it's nice. It's nice to be able to like piece it all together with somebody else.